KDDG Albert, KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud, KBGY Faribault, KLCI Elk River, KLCI HD1 Elk River, Minneapolis St. Paul. Merry Christmas from all of us at Bob FM.
Christmas! Hey, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Bob FM to celebrate Christmas Eve. What a special time. I'm Dennis Carpenter.
And I'm Dan Peters. We're both owners here at Bob FM. We decided to do something fun tonight and put on a radio play for your enjoyment.
Yeah, hey, it's going to be the 1934 version of A Christmas Carol. How special, with members of the entire Bob team. Past, present, maybe even future. We'll find out.
To show they can do more than spin hot stacks of wax?
I suppose.
Okay. Some of the voices they came up with are incredible. I think it's well beyond their actual talent. And after the play is done, you can listen again at mybobcountry.com. That's mybobcountry.com.
And now, here we go. Bob FM presents
A Christmas Carol. God bless you.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
Marley was dead, to begin with. There's no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead. Of course he did. Scrooge and Marley were partners for I don't know how many years. Ah, but he was a tight-fisted, grindstone kind of guy. Scrooge, a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. And once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve.
Sing merry, gentlemen, let nothing...
Old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house, a grim, cheerless place, if ever there was one. The door of Scrooge's counting house was open, that he might keep his eye upon his clerk, Bob Cratchit, who in a cold and dismal lit cell worked at his ledgers.
1920, 21, 22. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. 23, 26, 29, 9, carry 2. This Christmas Day, 1917, 7.
Bob Cratchit!
Yes, Mr. Scrooge?
Stop that infernal caterwauling!
Yes, sir! 9:15:17.
Singing their idiotic Christmas carols at my very door! Go on, get away from my door! Go somewhere else and bellow your blasted carols or I'll give you...
Why, Governor, it's an old custom at Christmas time, you know?
Yes, and I don't want any of your old customs. Take your fellow fools and go away! Christmas, blah.
Right, sir. Merry Christmas anyway, sir.
Now you, get that letter from Higgins and Blackthorne, Cratchit, and I want you to get finished posting this ledger, and after that, you can pop over to Parthagill's and tell Ephraim Parthagill you've come after the 17 shillings and sixpence he's owed me since Michelmas. And tell him I shall have a constable over there if he doesn't pay up at once.
Mr. Parthagill's wife, she's been ill, sir.
Oh, what do I care about his wife? I want my 17 and six.
I just thought... It being Christmas, sir.
Christmas? Christmas? You mention that word once more, Bob Cratchit, and I'll...
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. A Merry Christmas, Bob.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Fred.
God save you, Uncle.
Bah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? No, I'm sure you don't mean that.
I mean just that, exactly that. Merry Christmas. What right do you have to be merry? What reason... of you. You're poor enough.
Well, what right have you to be dismal about Christmas, Uncle? You're rich enough.
Bah.
Now, Uncle, don't be cross.
Well, what else can I be when I live in such a world of fools? What's Christmas to you but a time for paying bills without money? Merry Christmas! A time for finding yourself a year older, not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips, he'd be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should.
Uncle!
Now, nephew, keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it, Uncle.
Well, let me leave it alone then. What do you want, a Christmas gift? I have no doubt.
I came to wish you a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
A Merry Christmas. Much good may Christmas do you. Much good it's ever done you.
There are many things from which I derive good, by which I have not profited materially, I dare say, Uncle. Christmas, among the rest. But I have always thought of Christmas time as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good and will do me good, and I say, God bless it.
Oh, God bless Christmas. Hurrah!
Let me hear another sound out of you there, Bob Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. And as to you, nephew, I wonder you don't go into Parliament. You talk enough nonsense.
Oh, don't be angry, Uncle. I don't want anything from you. Nothing at all from you. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry you feel that way. A Merry Christmas to you, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year, too.
Bah, humbug.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Bob, and to the missus, and to Tiny Tim.
Well, thank you, Mr. Fred. Same to you, sir. Good day, sir.
Good day, Bob.
Nonsense, twaddle. Talking of Christmas and not 2 sixpence to jingle together in his trousers pockets. Hey, hey, you there, Bob Cratchit, come here. What are you doing there?
Well, I'm only putting a bit more coal in the fire, Mr. Scrooge. See, it's so cold in there, sir.
You put that coal back into the scuttle. A fire indeed. I can tell you, if you use that coal at that rate, you and I will soon be parting company, Bob Cratchit. You understand that? There's many a young fellow would like your situation, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. My fingers were getting a little stiff with the cold.
Then put on your mittens. There's someone at the door. Go on, see who it is.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
This is the firm of Scrooge and Molly.
Yes, sir.
I should like to see the head of the firm, if I may.
Oh, very good, sir.
What is it?
A gentleman to see you, Mr. Scrooge.
Huh?
Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Molly?
Marley's been dead these 7 years tonight. I'm Scrooge.
Well, now, Mr. Scrooge, at this season of the year, it's only fitting that we who are more fortunate should raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. You may not believe it, sir, but many thousands are now in want of common necessities. And hundreds of thousands are in want of the simplest comforts.
Are there no prisons?
Well, there are plenty of prisons, sir.
And the workhouses, they're still in operation, I trust?
I wish I could say they are not. But they are, sir.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Ah, I'm glad to hear that, then. Hey, I was afraid, from what you said at first, that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course.
No, sir, all these institutions that you mentioned are flourishing, but it's nevertheless true that some additional provision for the poor and the destitute must be made.
Yeah.
A few of us upon change are endeavoring to raise such a fund, you see, and what shall I put you down for?
Nothing!
Oh, I see. You wish to be anonymous, sir?
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas time, and I can't afford to help make a lot of idle people merry. I help to support the establishments that take care of the poor. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there.
Many can't go there, sir. And many would rather die.
Then my advice to them is to do so and decrease the surplus population. Besides, I've only your word this is so.
It's the truth, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, then so be it. It's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business, not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, sir.
I quite understand, Mr. Scrooge. Good afternoon.
Cratchit, show this gentleman out.
Yes, sir. This way, sir, please. Sir, I couldn't help but overhear. I should like to contribute tuppence.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir.
It isn't much at all, sir. It's all I can afford. But there are others in a worse situation than I.
You're a generous fellow. I wish I might say so of your employer.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Cratchit!
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, sir.
Close the door!
Yes, sir. One, carry the 3. A new scarlet tippet for Tiny Tim. A comb for Martha. 33, 3, carry the 3. Hair ribbon for Belinda. 4, 7, 12, 15.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's too late to have you go to Parthagill's. You'll be closed up for Christmas like these other fools. We may as well close up the place now.
Yes, sir. It is getting a little dark. You know, it's hard to see the figures.
I suppose you want the entire day off tomorrow?
If it's quite convenient, sir.
Well, it's not convenient, and it's not fair either. But I suppose I can't do anything about it. If I were to stop a half a crown of your wages, you'd think yourself very ill-used, I'll be bound.
Well, sir, I...
Yeah, but you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work.
Well, it's only once a year, sir.
Once a year? Once a year indeed! A fine excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose there's no good talking. You must have the whole day well. See to it that you're here all the earlier the next morning. You understand?
Oh, I will, sir. I will indeed.
Good night, sir. And Merry Christmas.
Bah!
Merry Christmas.
Bah!
The office was closed at a twinkling, and Bob Cratchit, with the long ends of his white comforter dangling below his waist, went down a slide on Cornhill 20 times in honor of it being Christmas Eve, and then ran home to Camden Town as hard as he could pelt to play with his family at Blind Man's Bluff. Scrooge, on the other hand, took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern, having read all the newspapers and spent the rest of the evening with his banker's book. And then he went to his dismal house. Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it. The yard was so dark that even Scrooge, who knew its every stone, had to grope with his hands through the fog and the frost to find the door. Scrooge walked through his rooms to see if it was all right. The sitting room, bedroom, lumber room, all as they should be. Nobody under the table. Nobody under the sofa. Nobody under the bed. Nobody in the closet. Close the door. He locked himself in. He double-locked himself in and took off his cravat, put on his dressing gown and slippers and his nightcap, and sat down before the fire to take his gruel.
Been dead 7 years. Humbug, it's all humbug. What I need is a good night's. What? What's that? Someone's in the wine cellar. The door is closed, double locked. Something's coming. It's coming closer. Outside my door. Bah, I won't believe it. It's humbug still.
Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Marley. Oh no, what do you want with me?
I want much of you, Ebenezer.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Oh, you are very particular for a ghost. All right, then. Who are you?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Jacob Marley? But you're dead. You died 7 years ago.
7 years ago this very night. What's wrong, Ebenezer? Don't you believe in me?
I do not.
You doubt your senses, Ebenezer?
Yes, because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You can't be a ghost. You may be an undigested bit of beef, or a blot of mustard, or a crumb of cheese, a fragment of underdone potato. There'd be more gravy than grave about you, whatever you are. Ah, humbug. I do believe in you. You are a ghost.
Thank you.
But why? Why do you walk on the earth, Jacob? Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide to witness what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth and turned to happiness.
But tell me, Jacob, what is that chain you wear around you?
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard by my own free will. Is its pattern strange to you, Ebenezer?
Cash boxes? Keys and padlocks? Ledgers and purses?
Yours was as heavy and as long as this. 7 years ago, you have labored on it since, Ebenezer.
Oh, Jacob, speak comfort to me, Jacob.
Comfort? I have none to give. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger. Weary journeys lie before me.
You travel fast?
Yes, Ebenezer, on the wings of the wind.
Ah, 7 years dead and traveling all the time.
7 years, Ebenezer. 7 years of remorse. Ebenezer, do you know that no space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunities missed?
But you were always a good man of business.
Business? Mankind was my business. Charity, mercy, benevolence, they were all my business. Dealings of my trade, but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business.
Jacob, don't take on so now, Jacob.
Listen to me, Ebenezer.
I'll listen to you, Jacob. Go on, Jacob, now. Speak to me. Don't be so flowery.
Ebenezer, I am here to warn you that you have yet a chance of hope of escaping my fate. Do you hear that, Ebenezer?
Yes, Jacob, yes. You were always a good friend to me, Jacob. Thanks, Jacob, but go on. How shall I escape? Oh, I'm afraid, Jacob.
You will be haunted by three spirits.
Is that the only chance and hope, Jacob?
It is your only chance and hope.
Well, then, I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one.
Couldn't I just take them all at once and have it over, Jacob?
Ebenezer, look, that for your own sake, you can remember what has passed between us. Remember when the bell tolls one. Look for the first spirit.
Marley! Jacob Marley!
Scrooge
was lying on his bed, fully dressed. Suddenly, the curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. As close to it as I am now to you, and I'm standing in the spirit at your elbow. It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old man. Its hair, which hung about its neck and down its back, was white, as if with age, and yet the face had not a wrinkle in it, and the tenderest bloom was on the skin. The arms were long and muscular, the hands the same, as if its hold were of uncommon strength.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who? Who's that?
Ebenezer Scrooge, I have come for you.
You? Are you the spirit, sir, whose coming was foretold to me?
I am that spirit.
Who? What are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past.
But what do you want of me? What brings you here to haunt me?
Your welfare, Ebenezer Scrooge. Rise and walk with me.
Oh, no, no. No, I'm not out of the window. Why, I can't do that. I'll fall down. I'm not a spirit. I'm mortal. I'll fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this. Come, follow me.
Rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember,
where are we? What's become of the city? And there's snow on the ground. Where are we?
There are the shadows of the things that have been. You recognize this countryside?
Oh, I know every inch of it. Every rock. Every tree.
And that bleak building over there?
Ah, that building. That I was a boy there. I went to school in that horrible place.
Do you recollect that path?
I could walk it blindfolded.
Strange. You should have forgotten it so many years. Come, let us go closer. Look through the window into the cold, barren room. What do you see, Ebenezer Scrooge?
I see a boy.
A solitary child. Neglected by his family. Alone.
Yes, I see. I know that boy. I was so lonely. Poor boy.
Your lip is trembling, Scrooge. And what is that on your cheek?
It's nothing. Nothing at all. I wish I... Oh, it's too late now.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing. The waifs come to my door singing Christmas carols last night, and there was a boy like that among them. A poor, pale, thin little boy in a ragged coat. I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Is that all? Come, Ebenezer Scrooge. Come. Let us see another Christmas. Do you know this place, Ebenezer Scrooge?
Know it. This is the counting house where I was apprenticed. It's my old master, bless his heart. Old Fezziwig, my master alive again, and hosting one of his Christmas parties.
Pick your partners.
Listen to him.
Corkscrew, thread the needle, and back to your places.
And there's Dick Wilkins. Poor Dick. Dear. Yes, and look, and there's Mrs. Fezziwig herself, and looking younger than any of them. And all the tables all loaded with roasts and cider and mince pie and beer. Oh, what a jolly time we used to have.
That carefree young man with the light heart and the gay smile. Do you recognize him?
Yes. Merciful heaven. How happy I was then.
A small matter for old Fezziwig to make those silly folks so full of joy.
Small matter. Small indeed.
Isn't it? He has spent only a few pounds of your mortal money. Is that so much that he deserves praise?
Well, it's not that. It's not that, Spirit. Old Fezziwig has the power to make us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or heavy. His power lies in words and looks and the things so tiny that it's impossible to count them up. The happy
happiness he gives us is quite as great as if it cost a...
What is the matter?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
Something, I think.
No, no.
See?
Well, only... It's just that I'd like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk, Bob Cratchit, that's all.